Well, I want to greet you all this morning, and I say I pray that you're all doing well on this day that the Lord has made. Everybody doing good? Yes, yes, yes. And that's a good thing, and I love that the message you all sang, the song you said you're going to sing of the goodness of God. And today's message is about, you know, goodness, being good, doing good works, just holding that vibration, because to hold the good is to hold God, right? And so we're grateful for that. I want to continue with our series this morning on amplifying our light, because Lord knows we need to be amped up at this time, but amped up in a good way. We don't need to amp up our anger. We don't need to amp up our frustration, or we're looking for spiritual activism, you know, righteous energy, which simply means right use. Righteous means right use of spiritual law, spiritual power. So we want to be amped up in spiritual ways with spiritual power to do that which is ours to do. And so I'll continue with the series. But I also want this morning to recognize that this is February and we are in the midst of Black History Month, and how I feel it's more important than ever before to show the brilliance of a people, especially since there are many who want to erase that history, who want to ban books that tell the truth about our nation's history, and the treatment of Black people, treatment of indigenous people. And because we're at a place in time where when you try to hold down history, when you try to cover up a truth, there's a saying that says that which is done in the dark is going to come to light. It's going to come to light. And so all this energy of trying to keep people at bay, when the world can see, we all can see what is happening. And because it has been, you know, for some reason, there's been a fear of this nation looking at itself, looking at its errors. Everybody has erred. But when we are trying to act as if nothing has occurred, in fact, we want to try to erase what has occurred, whitewash what has occurred. We want to have revisionist history. We want to change everything around so that it has a different flavor. When all that stuff gets squashed down, it's going to come back with a more intense nature. And that's what we see happening. I was just reflecting, driving in. I said, at first, you know, this nation was about, because this power, this energy has been undealt with, unhealed, unacknowledged, you know, it's spreading. So before, it was just basically against African Americans and indigenous people, the First Nations of this land. But now that energy has begun to spread. Now it's about everything. If trans people, LGBTQA people, disabled people, even if you're not necessarily a white male, it's against females, it's against everybody who is not showing up as a white male. And so we can see this energy is just growing and expanding to include just about everybody in our nation and even in the world. And it's, you know, I was just, it's a sickness. Dr. Martin Luther King called it a sickness that is really sort of disrupting the moral fiber of our nation. And so, you know, I want to bring this truth as truth bearers and truth tellers. This is going to, it's a perilous time that we're in, but this is the time that we're going to have to speak our truth. We're going to have to speak up and speak out about everything, because what you can't keep these things in the dark, and they would like to have everybody in the dark. Do away with the education system, because that way you won't educate people. People will be in a certain, people will be what we call ignorant, without light, wisdom, knowledge, right? And so if they want to keep everybody in the dark, but I'm thinking that's going to be or will be impossible. That's not going to work, and it will not work as long as there are good people who stand for the truth. As long as there are good people who are willing to stand up. As long as there are good people who are willing to stand out. John Lewis encouraged us when he said, get in good trouble, necessary trouble, and help redeem the soul of America. And we need some redemption at this point because we have lost our moral way. We've lost our compass. And then he said, speak up, speak out, get in the way. So the time for silence is over, friends, because to be silent is to be complicit. Now, you may not want to get out there with, you know, the folks and do the marching or whatever, and that's fine because I'm not going to be doing that myself, too many people. But I am finding my ways to speak up, speak out, stand out, call the truth when it needs to be called out. And to get in good trouble if I have to get in good trouble, because this is the time to do some good work. This is the time for us to do good work. And sometimes that good work might be getting in some good trouble. But as light bearers and truth seekers and tellers, we and truth finders, we must shine brightly, especially in dark times. And so this is about letting no thing or no one stop your shine. Maya Angelou put it this way. She said, nothing can dim the light that shines from within. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. He said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future. Now, I love that, but I thought there's some positive hurts, too, because I think my hurt is shaping my future. I'm going to be honest. I was deeply hurt when Kamala did not get into the position of president of this nation. And I was hurt. I'm not going to go into my conspiracy theories, but I do know that there were hundreds of thousands of people who were disenfranchised, whose votes were not counted. And there's a gentleman, a statistician, who's been doing some work looking that if those votes had been counted, guess what? She would be in the White House. And I'm hurt behind that. And so I'm letting my hurt not necessarily keep me down, but motivate me in a way that, what can I do to contribute positively? Well, how can my hope turn my hurt into something positive, something constructive? And so we want to continue to have hope because there's always light. We have to have hope because there's always the light and the love of God that is available to us. I don't care how dark it gets, how terrible it gets, the presence and the power of God is always available to us. There is always a way to move within and beyond our circumstances, or none of us would be here. Somehow, people found a way to move within and beyond whatever limited circumstances they found themselves in. And so there's always, that gives me hope. I just need to find my way within the circumstances that are available. So as Maya said, nothing can dim the light that shines from within. But you know who also said that? Who else told us that? It was John the Baptist. And he said this in the book of John. And it is the first five verses. And I want to read from the New Living and then the Message. And then, the King James, the Message, and the New Living. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's how it's written in King James. Listen to the Message. The Word was first. The Word present to God. The Word present to God, present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. And then from the New Living Translation, in the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, I love these words and this reading because sometimes we think, oh, these dark times and dark days are going to do us in. But we have something within us that can never be extinguished. Never. And yet, if we're truthful, on occasions we might have to admit that we do feel a sense of hopelessness from time to time. If you know, sometimes our humanity slips in and works above our spiritual knowing. Sometimes we may even succumb to the feelings of, you know, despair, that things are appearing dark and bleak. But yet, there is always hope and always light. Always some good to be found somewhere in everything. Now, we may have to look for it, but it is there. And that's what we want to remember. I don't care how dark it looks. I must remember that there's always light. And where there's light, there's a way. Where there's light, there's a way. Now, we may have to, you know, maneuver and figure it out, but there is a way. And I've been thinking a lot about the state of where we are. And you know what feels, has me kind of baffled a little bit? Is that how could so many people be swept up in the propaganda? That's what I'm calling it, because that's what it is. The propaganda that is being spread. You know, the otherness. How is that possible? How can so many people get caught up in hate and ill will towards people and pure negativity and somehow think that that's a good thing? I don't get that. How do you think dishonoring, hating another, taking away rights, making life difficult on purpose now? This is being done on purpose. How can you think that's a good thing? There's something missing that has me deeply disturbed. Something missing. Well, actually, I kind of do know how that happens. And it's because people are wrapped up in fear. Folks who are doing that are really in fear. Who was it? Gerald Jampolsky said there's basically only two emotions, fear and love. We're either doing one or the other. And I think it is this fear that someone else will get something that they don't have, or that someone else might get more than they have, and their hearts are closed. So the concepts of love and compassion and giving and caring and sharing are foreign to them, right? And so it's easy for them to move into, you know, some of what I call the deadly sins, greed and pride and, you know, making sure that they have everything for self. It's all about self, as opposed to recognizing there are other spiritual qualities and principles that will enable us all to live well on the planet together. Because we are here on this planet, what? Together. So there must be a way for us to exist together. It's like the roses saying to the daisies, I'm going to kill you because you are yellow and you're red and I don't like you. No. The flowers grow up. The trees grow up. All kinds of trees, fruit trees and whatever. There are all kinds of people. We're all God's creation. So there has to be something that is missing in the soul that causes people to feel a sense of separation and then move into fear and out of fear create and do ugly things. The light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. And so I'm thinking, how can I get to people to help them understand that the light exists? And so, you know, there's some ways that that can happen. But we recognize that we've all known people like this, that you're trying to do something good. You're trying to be about the good, to do something good. And yet these people somehow think you're naive, you're being Pollyannish, right? You're too kind. You're a sucker. People are going to take advantage of you. You're a weakling. They actually feel that if you show too much love, too much compassion, too much kindness, that somehow that's a weakness within you. And so others are going to take advantage of you. And they don't understand, but why would you do that? Why would you want to do that? Someone read a quote from, and I didn't have a chance to look it up exactly, from Christopher Columbus when he got here and he was speaking about the natives. And in essence, he said, oh, these people are so kind. They'll just give you anything and, you know, they'll share everything with you. And the way that he was writing and speaking about it in his journal, as if that was a terrible thing, a weak thing. Because they were coming with what? Aggression, coming with take. So to see kindness was foreign. And so we have to look at our own internal measures of our humanity and the scope. We can go from here, be exalted, and we can go pretty low. And we have to recognize when we're in that negative state. And what we're seeing is people don't understand how we could care for others. We want to serve others. We want to share with others. We want to do good for others. Because they are only seeing what, being concerned about what's in it for me. What is it going to do for me? And that kind of energy is on its way out. And we're going to see a whole turnaround where this sense of community and the collective, like we've not seen it before, we're going to get back to that. The verse that says, and the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. They're not understanding and seeing. So here's what we know. Even with the lack of understanding on the part of others, that darkness cannot extinguish the light. No matter how hard they try, that's the truth, right? But what we're here to do is to understand how light works and how to shine out light. And so when you were in a dark place mentally, when your heart and mind are closed, when you're not able to see, you can't understand the higher things. You can't understand the more excellent way to do things. You are in ignorance. And ignorance is without light, without wisdom, without knowledge. You're without the benefit and the blessing of light that lies within you. And so it's helping me to understand that, they are dwelling in ignorance. They are not attuned to the light that surrounds them and it comes forth from within them. And so somehow or another, we have to be the spark that wakes them up. They don't want to be woke. They want to be asleep. But that's okay because as a light bearer, just your presence is going to wake people up. Because nothing can withstand the light that is God, that is good, that is love, that is truth. Nothing. They can mask it and create laws and do all that stuff and create chaos and havoc. Yes, we might have some of that, but they could never stop the progression of the goodness of God. They cannot stop light. They cannot stop light. I was thinking the metaphor this morning. I was sitting in my meditation chair, and I said, you know, if we turn out all the light in this sanctuary and we just light one little match, yes, there's still a lot of darkness, but in that place where that light is, there's light, the darkness. So this is all the more reason for not one little light, but 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is what we're here to do, because eventually, if this church was filled with nothing but light bearers holding up a light, guess what would happen to the darkness? It would have to dissipate. So this is not just a willy-nilly thing. The more we stand up and we speak our truth and we stand up against this energy, the more it will begin to dissipate. And it might mean that there are people around the world that might have to stand up. Everybody's going to be called. Because it's not just happening here in this nation. It is happening around the world. Make no mistake. A scripture that has been given to me a while back that sits in my heart. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth. We are going to shine our light so brightly that others will have to wake up, whether they want to or not. And that is a powerful task for us. There's power in us coming together and shining our light, and to do it so brightly that others in your presence cannot help but see the light. They cannot help but comprehend it, understand it, succumb to it, because eventually the light, the darkness succumbs to the light. It must. It's law. It's the way it works, which is why we have to continue to keep seeking a higher understanding, keep seeking shining our light to do good anyway. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I'm going to be so bright you cannot miss my light and my good works. And you will have to give glory to God. You will have to succumb to the truth. And so that's our mission. There's power in doing the good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It ain't about you. Because the moment they can see the brightness and the goodness in you, and they've done a whole bunch of negativity, and still you stand, still you rise, still you're here, woo! That will break them down before it breaks you down. So what are your good works? What is it that you have been called to do? Every single one of us has a good work to do. We don't need to be comparing, because my good work might be different than your good work. You know, but I'm going to find my niche. I'm going to find what my good work is and where it is that I need to bring my light and where it is I need to shine light within myself. Where are my weak places? Where are my places that need to be lifted up and shored up? Right? Where does my heart need to be opened a little bit more? Where does my consciousness need to grow? Where do my thoughts need to expand? So we do our work. This is what Jesus, as the Christ, said. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. So we've been called not only to do good works, but greater works. And we have it. We have the capacity, friends. This is what we think. Don't feel hopeless at what can we do. It might not be the conventional way, but we will find a way. We have the capacity to not only do good works, but to do greater works. So I'm thinking, whatever they are undoing, we shall build again, right? Whatever loss we may experience, we will gain again. Whatever cruelty they will put forth and unleash, we will overcome that cruelty with the power of compassion. Whatever greed they may have and amass, we will overcome with abundance. We know how to generate abundance in the midst of lack. When you understand that God is the source of everything, don't fear if you've lost your job, you've done all these things. These things are not, they're just your channel. They're not your source. God is the source. As long as we stay connected to the source, the channels are going to change, right? We might be in a new profession, a new job, whatever. That's going to change. But your source is steady. God is there. So whatever greed they can amend, we can overcome with abundance. Whatever they destroy, we can create. We are co-creators. We are master manifestation in the expression of God the good. Whatever they eliminate, we can add. So we can do these things. So let's not get hung up on what they're taking away and how they're doing it. I mean, it's going to affect us, but keep our eye on the prize. We can build this up again, right? They are not greater. That darkness is not greater than the light. And so I'm going to live in the light. I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to speak in the light. And this is what we are called to do, because they cannot extinguish our light nor our good works. So it's time for us to get shining. It's time for us to find our niche, find the way you're going to be expressing it, find what you're going to create, you know, that's new. We're creating a new world right now. And we each have a part to play. So we're not going to fall into despair. Yes, we might notice it. It might get difficult and challenging. We have each other. We can talk and vent for a minute. But then we got to lift each other up. You can't dwell in the valley. Don't pitch a tent in the valley. This is not the time for that. You can feel it, but you must move beyond that at some point. That's why we have to need each other. When I'm down, I got to turn to somebody. And I might have to call Reverend Cheryl and say, pray for me. She might have a moment where she says, you know what, I need you to speak a word. I'll pray for you. I can do that. I can hold you today. We're going to have to come together to do a great and wonderful work. So I want to leave you with two readings. There were so many other scriptures that I wanted to bring up, but these two came to me. And the first one is a scripture from Isaiah. So let's see if my phone has it. Ah, this is from Isaiah, Isaiah 1 through verse 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. Arise. This is from the Old Testament, and Isaiah is trying to get the Israelites to step up. Don't be discouraged. You've been through a whole lot in the desert, wandering, all kinds of things, but arise, because your light has come. And it says that the God's light will shine upon you. And God will use you in a way that, you know, they say when God opens the door, there'll be a door open that no man can shut. Amen. This is the time that we must put forth God's goodness. Continue to do it anyway. And the last thing that I wanted to share was from Mother Teresa. And I've shared it before, but I like it because I think it speaks to us. So I'm going to have to bring it up again, learning to work with my new phone. Anyway, so the poem Anywhere by Mother Teresa. And so this is what it says. No, not that one. I thought I said the poem Anywhere, and it gave me something else. So we'll see. What was the poem of Mother Teresa? Okay. Okay. All right. My phone is so creative. I don't know what it's doing, but it's not bringing that up, so I'm going to Google it again. The poem Anyway, let's see. The poem Anyway by Mother Teresa. Okay, here we go. All right. Let's see if I can say it. And she says, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind, what? Anyway. If you're successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find sincerity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have. It will never be enough, but give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. So I love this poem because it tells me I must still be about the good anyway. I've got to find a way, and when I place my feet on the path to do good, to shine my light, the path may be rocky, the road may be rocky, there may be curves, there may be all kinds of boulders in my way, but I'm going to continue to have faith, to walk in the light, to be the light, to trust God, to guide me, direct me. Remember last week, power was what? On divine guidance. Stay close to God. Ask what is mine to do. What's the thing I need to be about? Check your thoughts and your feelings. Make sure your words are creative. The word is the creation of God. Speak your word. Speak it into existence. Speak life over whatever it is that you want. Have faith and continue. And then we might have to get into some good trouble. Don't be afraid of the good trouble. You'll find your ways to do good trouble. But we are going to put forth that light for the planet. I have to believe that all is well, even in the midst of what I'm seeing. I have hope in the midst of my hurt, but I'm going to make sure that I'm doing my part. And so are you ready to do good works? Yes. You ready to do your part? Let's go, let's go, let's go. The meek shall inherit the earth. Let's shine on, beloved ones. Let's shine on. Namaste and blessings. Are you going to go? No, I'm going to stay. Namaste. That's a corny little thing that I always say on my fishing nose, that I say it on my divine connections. You know, am I going to go? Namaste. So, namaste it, Lord. Namaste. Blessings. Oh, thank you.